Tony, you're charged with the crime of murder in that on July the 14th, 1967, at Mersham in the county of Surrey, you did willfully, unlawfully, and with malice aforethought, administer a toxic agent to your wife, Ellen Tawney, thereby causing her death. How do you plead to this charge? Guilty or not guilty?
I didn't. I'm not guilty.
It's time for you to take your place on the jury as Bristol Myers, makers of the Mum range of deodorants, Clairol hair care product, and Ipana toothpaste, invite you to... consider your verdict.
Gentlemen of the jury, it is common cause that Ellen Tawney died of poison. It is the Crown's contention that this poison was administered by her husband, the prisoner at the bar. You will be asked to decide three basic facts, gentlemen of the jury. They are these. Was this poison taken by the unfortunate woman accidentally or deliberately? Or was it willfully administered? If you come to the conclusion that Mrs. Tawney was killed as a result of deliberate poisoning, and it is the Crown's contention that such was the case, then you will want to ask yourselves, was this poison given to her by the prisoner at the bar? We are confident that after you hear the evidence, there will be no shadow of doubt in your minds but that the poisoner stands before you in the dock. Thirdly, you will want to ask, what means and opportunity were there for the accused to kill his wife? We shall supply the answers to these questions, gentlemen of the jury. We shall show not only but motive. A motive as old as time itself. A man tired of his wife, seeking excitement in the arms of another, then taking deadly measures to remove the woman who bars the way to the path of freedom, his wife. I now call my first witness, Elizabeth Walls. Miss Walls, you were employed at the home of the Tawneys?
Yes, sir.
How long did you hold the position, and in what capacity?
Well, sir, I worked there for 6 years. I was cook general.
So you cooked the food that was consumed by your employers?
Yes, sir.
On every occasion?
Well, not really, sir. The missus, she used to cook sometimes.
And the master? Did Mr. Tawney ever cook?
Now and again, sir. He liked cooking.
Am I correct in saying that for some months prior to her death, Mrs. Tawney was in a delicate state of health?
Yes, sir. She had the doctor in quite a few times.
Thank you. Now, I'd like you to go back to June the 3rd, 1967. I understand that you have testified that it was on that day when Mrs. Tawney first showed signs of physical distress.
Yes, sir.
You remember the incident well?
Oh, yes. The police asked me about it.
June the 3rd was a Saturday, was it not?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Tawney was at home for lunch?
Yes, sir.
Who prepared the lunch?
He did.
Will you please tell the court what happened when Mrs. Tawney began to feel ill?
Well, it was about half an hour after they'd had the lunch, and I'd gone into the lounge to clear away the coffee cups.
Yeah, what do you think of my work as a chef?
It's wonderful. You make me feel quite ashamed. Oh, I wish I could cook as well as you, Sydney.
Oh, you don't have to, my dear. Elizabeth's quite adequate. Yes, I must say that... Oh, what's the matter?
You're all right, madam?
Ellen, dear, what is it?
I don't know. It's a pain. Indigestion, I suppose.
Yeah, you were praising my cooking, and look what's happened to you.
Oh, I don't think it's that. If you don't mind, I'll go to my room.
Madam does look poorly. Shall we send for the doctor?
Oh, I don't think it's as serious as all that, Elizabeth. Mrs. Tony's probably suffering from some slight digestive attack. She'll be all right.
And was she all right?
Well, somehow she...
Yes, Miss Walls?
She never seemed the same.
Would you describe Mr. and Mrs. Tony as a happy couple?
Oh, yes, sir. For the first few years I was there, I'd never seen a better suited couple, honest, I hadn't.
Why do you say for the first few years? Did you observe a change in their relationship?
Yes.
Are you able to tell the court when that change took place?
About a year ago, sir.
Why are you so reasonably confident that your employer's feelings for his wife changed about that time?
Well, you see, sir, Mr. Tony had gone away. He went to some surveyor's meeting in Scarborough. Somehow he was different when he got back. The missus told me so. She noticed it too.
Mrs. Tawney told you that she found her husband different on his return?
Yes, sir. One day I was bringing in the tea tray and I slipped. Nothing was damaged, but the tea was all over the place. Oh, dear, I'm very sorry. Oh, I don't know what's the matter with me. My hands are like butterfingers, I'm sure.
Don't stand there gibbering. Tea's dripping all over the carpet. Oh, make some fresh.
There's no great harm done. Nothing's been broken.
No great harm done. No great harm done. Look at it. Turn up, sir. I don't want that filthy tea anyway. Turn up, sir. I don't want that to be tea anyway.
I'll just wrap this up and then I'll get you a nice fresh cap. Oh, I'm awfully sorry. I didn't mean to upset Mr. Tony, I'm sure.
Oh, of course you didn't. He's not himself these days. You mustn't worry about it.
Not himself? The master?
No. Ever since he's come back from that convention, he's had something on his mind. Oh, I wish he would confide in me. He hardly talks to me.
Oh, you don't think he's ailing or something, do you, Mrs. Tawney? Oh, men are funny creatures. Perhaps she's got a pain and doesn't want to tell you about it.
No, I don't think it's that.
Oh, I'm sure everything will be all right.
And was it all right?
Well, I never quarreled or anything, but the poor missus used to get these nervous pains.
Did your mistress continue to get these pains?
Now and again, yes.
Did your master continue to try his hand at cooking?
Yes, sir.
On June the 15th, Mrs. Tawney had another attack, and this time you called the doctor.
Yes, I did, sir. I was frightened. She was rolling on the bed. Her face was green. Oh, it was awful.
Did you tell Mr. Tawney of your intention?
Yes. Yes, I did, sir. He said it was nerves and the doctor couldn't do nothing about it. He said it was what was called psychosomatic.
Who prepared the dinner that night?
Well, I cooked some chops for the master and myself. Mr. Tawney said he'd make one of his fish pate things for the missus.
Did he?
Yes, he took it up to her himself.
Go on. Then what happened?
Well, after dinner, Mr. Tawney listened to the radio. I went upstairs to Madame Spectrum and she looked absolutely frightened. Oh, Madame. You poor thing.
Elizabeth, I can't stand it.
Oh, no.
Get something. Do something.
Just a moment here. Oh, Mr. Tawney, Madam's in great pain again. She looks terrible, sir.
No point in getting excited. It's only nerves.
Don't you think I'd better call the doctor?
Dr. Levison will tell you that my wife is suffering from a psychosomatic condition.
I don't know whatever it's called, but I'm going to call the doctor.
And did you call the doctor in?
Yes.
Thank you. On July the 14th, Mr. Tawney cooked one of his special fish pâtés for Mrs. Tawney.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Miss Walls. That's all.
Miss Walls, when my client first engaged you, He made clear the fact that cooking was one of his hobbies, and that you were not to take offense if he occasionally arranged the meal.
Yes, he did, sir.
Now, during the culinary operation...
Beg your pardon, sir?
When my client cooked the meal, were you banished from the kitchen?
Oh, no, sir.
He never said to you, stay away from the kitchen while I'm cooking. There was no suggestion of any secrecy?
No, sir.
Have you never heard my client tell his wife that she was suffering from nervous gastritis and that much of it was a psychosomatic cause?
Yes, sir.
And did you not hear my client tell Mrs. Tawney that if she was so insanely jealous, she would not be getting these pains?
Yes.
My client tells me that you were present when his wife threatened him with suicide. Is that true?
Yes, but she didn't mean it.
We'll be judges of that, Miss Walls. When was that?
About a fortnight after he came back from Scarborough.
What happened? What was that?
Well, she told him about Mrs. Fletcher.
And who is Mrs. Fletcher?
The lady what was on holiday in Scarborough when Mr. Tawney was there.
I see. Did you not tell your mistress that her husband had been seeing something of Mrs. Fletcher in Scarborough?
Yes, I did.
You're on oath, Miss Walls. I want you to tell the court what prompted you to gossip about Mr. Tawney.
Well, he was rude to her again.
We've had an invitation from the Bright Houses for drinks.
Them.
Well, I think we ought to go there, dear. It's their wedding anniversary. Oh, give Mr. Tawney some more coffee, Elizabeth.
I don't want any more coffee. It tastes like mud. Who made it?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. I got a special brand and thought we might try it.
If you wish to indulge in these silly experiments, be your own guinea pig.
Oh, but darling, I only want...
I only, for goodness sake, stop whining. I'm off.
Where are you going?
To the North Pole, oh, where that... Do you think I'm going?
What am I going to do, Elizabeth? What am I going to do?
Oh, these men, all the same, think they're lords of the earth.
Well, where could he go at this time of night?
Well, maybe he's gone to see her.
Her?
Oh, look, madam, I wasn't going to tell you this, but the way he's been acting, he deserves it. Elsie, what works for the Terringtons, was on holiday with her boyfriend in Scarborough.
Well?
Well, you know, Mrs. Fletcher, the one that was in all the papers about a divorce.
Oh, you're not going to tell me.
Yes,
that...
madam, I am.
Oh.
She and Mr. Tawney were all over the place. Elsie's sister works at the Royal Splendid Hotel, and what she saw went on.
Oh.
Well, I'm blessed to tell you, really, I do. Oh, the last is coming back.
Can't find my car keys anywhere.
You left them on the radiogram.
Oh, so I did.
Have you been seeing much of Mrs. Fletcher?
What do you mean?
Was she in Scarborough when you were there?
Yes. What of it? What are you trying to ask me? You may as well know the answer is yes.
You can't mean that, Sidney. It isn't true. If I thought that you... If you'd... Oh, I can't even say it. The words are too horrible to utter.
Well, what would you do?
I'd kill myself. I couldn't live with the shame and the humiliation.
You have to discuss this in front of the servant. Get out. Go back to the kitchen.
He ordered me back to the kitchen.
Mrs. Tawney declared that if she thought her husband was unfaithful to her, she would end her life.
Yes.
And her husband had confessed to such infidelity in your presence.
Yes.
Miss Walls, it's evident that you have a strong prejudice against my client.
I don't like him, if that's what you mean.
Have you ever seen him tampering with the food?
No.
That is all.
I now call Dr. Arnold Leveson.
Just a moment, Mr. Rotho. Don't call this witness, Usher. It's only 10 minutes to lunch. I think we may as well adjourn.
And so the court adjourns in the trial of Sidney Tawney for the murder of his wife, Ellen. We take this opportunity to remind you that this dramatic presentation is brought to you by Bristol Myers. And now, back to the courtroom. Everyone has taken their appointed place. The judge gives a signal, and Dr. Arnold Leveson takes his place in the witness box. The chief prosecutor begins to examine.
Dr. Leveson, I understand that the late Ellen Tawney was a patient of yours.
Yes, she was.
For how long?
For about 15 years, before she got married and since.
Until you were called in on June the 15th, would you describe your patient as a reasonably healthy person?
Yes, a reasonably healthy person. She had a slight cardiac condition, but nothing to worry about.
When you were called in on the 15th of June, what did you diagnose?
Acute gastroenteritis.
I see.
I gave her some remedial meds.
Were you sure of the accuracy of your diagnosis, Doctor?
No professional man ever accepts any diagnosis as a certainty. You see, she was in a highly nervous condition. That in itself can induce a gastrointestinal condition.
Did you question the food?
Yes, but it seemed all pretty harmless.
You paid a number of visits?
Yes, just as routine checks. I was a little worried about her because she had a slight valvular complaint in the heart. Vomiting and so on would, of course, exaggerate this condition.
But you at no time considered there was cause for alarm?
Not a bit of it.
When did you last see her before you were called in to the fatal deathbed?
I looked in on July the 10th.
Did you notice any change in her condition?
Yes. The fever had abated. Her pulse was more regular. The pains had subsided. I was pleased with her progress.
It was something of a shock for you to receive the telephone call on the 14th of July that she was in great agony.
Very much so. I could not understand why her condition had deteriorated so rapidly. When I saw her, I concluded that she must have eaten something, some substance to which she had a violent allergy.
Did you remain with Mrs. Tawney?
Yes. It was pitiful to watch. She was in great pain. I was with her for 3 hours. Her body could not stand the strain of the gastric condition. She died 3 hours later at 10 minutes past 10.
You refused to sign a death certificate?
Yes.
Why?
While I was prepared to accept the fact that my client had died from heart failure brought on by gastroenteritis, I was not happy as to the cause of that gastric condition.
In other words, Doctor, you felt that she had, wittingly or unwittingly, swallowed some substance which accelerated her death.
Yes.
The subsequent post-mortem revealed that your suspicions were justified.
That is so. More than 2 grains of arsenic were discovered in the body.
Would 2 grains of arsenic be a fatal quantity?
It depends a great deal on the constitution of the person. In view of Mrs. Tawney's cardiac condition, yes.
Thank you, Doctor. That's all.
Doctor, when you say more than 2 grains, what do you mean by that? 6 grains? 8 grains of arsenic?
No, of course not.
Why, of course not, Doctor? Yours was a general answer to a specific question, was it not?
It is impossible to determine the exact amount of arsenic in the human body. The most a pathologist can hope to do is to ascertain a minimum amount as near a degree of accuracy as possible. The pathologist's report says 2.2 grains.
And you say that's a fatal quantity?
I did not say that. I said the introduction of 2 grains of arsenic into the body of Mrs. Tawney would prove fatal.
Because of her heart condition?
Yeah.
You know that Mrs. Tawney was addicted to many potent medicines, particularly a thing called antidepressor.
Yes.
Do you know the formula of antidepressor?
A little caffeine, some arsenic, I believe.
Doctor, forgive a layman's inquiries, but arsenic has an accumulative effect, has it not? And it is possible to consume small quantities over the years.
Yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no? This is a rather ambivalent answer from a professional man.
Ambivalent or not, it is the correct answer. The entire quantity of arsenic absorbed into the human body does not remain in the body.
But much of it does, though, particularly after death. And it is a fact, is it not, that the human body can frequently contain 2 grains of arsenic with no injurious effects to the health of the person concerned?
A normal, healthy body, yes.
Is it not a reasonable assumption that this arsenic found in the post-mortem had accumulated over the years?
No, it is not.
Can you swear to that?
No, sir. But you asked for a reasonable assumption, not for a categorical statement on oath.
You cannot swear to your opinion. Thank you very much.
I now call Mr. Albert Beasley. Mr. Beasley, you are the proprietor of Beasley Pharmacy?
Yes, sir, I am.
The prisoner at the bar, is he known to you?
Oh, he's been a customer of mine for some time.
I want you to cast your mind back to the day when he purchased a patent preparation known as Antoid. Do you remember it?
Oh, I remember it very well, sir.
Antoid is a preparation sold for the destruction of ants and anthills.
Yes.
Would you tell the court something of the circumstances behind that purchase?
Certainly. On the 1st of June, Mr. Tawney was in my pharmacy buying a bottle of hair lotion. We were chatting about the weather when a friend of mine named Jenkins came in. Well, hello, Harry. What brings you in town?
Hello, Albert. Good afternoon, Mr. Tawney.
Good afternoon.
I'm afraid I can't stop. I've come in for a tin of Android. Overrun with the wretched things. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not interrupting, am I?
No, not a bit. I've made my purchase. You're just passing the time of day.
Here you are, Harry. Shall I charge it?
Oh, yes, please. Thanks. Don't want to be rude, but I've got a rush. Missus is waiting for me at the town hall.
Oh, give him my regards.
Yes, I will.
Great chap, Harry. Ever been in his market garden, sir?
No, I haven't, but I believe it's a highly organized place.
Oh, yes, it is. But he still can't get rid of those ants. Millions of them. Mind you, he swears by this Antoid. I recommend it ordinary garden or common arsenic. But then this is 80% arsenic. Hey, I forgot to ask him to sign the poison book. Oh, he'll be in a day or two.
80% arsenic, you say? If he swears by it, I'd better take it in, too. The number of anthills in my garden gets quite worrying. You'd better give me a tin now.
Certainly, Mr. Toynbee. Here you are.
I gave him a tin. He signed the poison book, and that was that.
Have you ever complained of ants before?
Not to me, never did.
Thank you.
You know my client has a reasonably sized garden.
Yes.
Have you?
Well, fairly large.
Around about the month of June, are you plagued with ants?
I am, sir.
In fact, this last June was one of the worst years experienced in Mersham.
Well, that's true.
And a lot of residents bought ant killers who had not done so before.
Yes.
Ah, so such a purchase by Tawney was neither sinister nor indicative in your mind?
Oh, it wasn't then and it... Well, it's now.
Thank you, Mr. Beasley. No more questions.
I now call Inspector Ernest Crawley. Inspector Crawley, as a result of the post-mortem, you sent for the accused?
Yes, I did.
And he made a statement?
Yes.
Would you please tell the court the substance of that interview?
Certainly. I told him that I was inquiring to the death of his wife.
Mr. Tawney, we're inquiring to the death of your wife.
Oh, this is all nonsense. Everywhere I go, people point at me and whisper. The whole village is saying that I poisoned her. I didn't. Why should I?
One motive might be that you wanted to marry Mrs. Fletcher.
Oh, this is nonsense. Mrs. Fletcher's a woman to spend time with. She's pleasant. I'd no more marry Mrs. Fletcher than a traveling salesman would want to marry a striptease artist who entertains him at a nightclub.
Nevertheless, the pathologists say that your wife was poisoned.
Yes, I know, I know. If she was poisoned, then she took the poison herself.
What did you do with the tin of Antoid that you brought from the chemist?
Oh, so that's it. I used it up.
What did you do with the tin?
I threw it away. I don't know. Ask the urban council. Probably in the dust heap.
We understand that a tin of Antoid lasts about 3 months. With a garden like yours, it would probably last a year.
Look, Inspector, I'm not a farmer or a gardener. It said on the tin it kills ants. It's logical for me to assume that the more stuff I put on the ant heap, the surer I am the little pests will be killed. I poured the lot all over the place and threw the tin away.
I think you're lying. I think you bought that poison to put into the food you gave your wife. Sidney Tawney, I have a warrant for your arrest. I must warn you that anything you might say will be taken down.
Did you interview Mrs. Fletcher?
Yes.
What did she say?
She said, all this is terrible.
Oh, this is too terrible, Inspector. The rumors that are going about. Yes, Sidney does want to marry me. Now that his wife is no more, we shall get married. Oh. After a decent interval of time, of course.
She said that, did she?
Yes, she did.
Thank you, Inspector. That's all.
Inspector, are you a medical expert?
No, of course not.
Therefore, you yourself don't really know how Mrs. Tawney died, do you?
Well, the pathologist said she died of poisoning.
Let me correct you. The pathologist merely states the results of his analysis. The analysis of the body showed that there was 2.2 grains of arsenic. Now, do you think 2.2 grains could kill a person?
I don't know.
You don't know. Yet, according to your evidence, you said, and I quote, the pathologists say that your wife was poisoned.
Yes, that's true. I did not say that she died as a result of poisoning. She was poisoned.
Have you examined the cooking utensils, the dishes, the kitchen? Have you endeavored to find any trace of Antoine?
No, it would be a waste of time. Obviously, they would all have been washed.
You mean my client would have washed away evidence of his crime?
Yes, I do mean that.
Can you be serious, Inspector? A man like my client getting on his hands and knees, washing the kitchen floor, or putting an apron around his waist to scour the dishes in full view of the Cook General?
The Cook General wouldn't know anything about it.
Not know anything about it? Then you know nothing about Cook Generals. Would you accept my word for it that I had occasion to use some rat poison? The label said use sparingly, and in my exasperation I used the entire container. Would you accept that?
If you say so, yes, sir.
Then why not my client's word?
Because of other circumstances.
It would seem that the Crown points to my client's relationship with Mrs. Fletcher as motive for killing his wife. Have you found any written evidence that he intended to marry her?
We have a word for it.
Oh, come, come, Inspector. You're a man of the world. Have you not heard men seeking ladies' favors and succeeding in getting them by false promises? That is all.
That closes the case for the Crown, my lord.
Well, you have heard all the relevant facts. Now we ask you to consider your verdict. Would you say that the accused Sidney Tawney was guilty or not guilty of the murder of his wife, Ellen Tawney? In a moment or two, we shall give you the verdict recorded in the actual trial upon which this dramatic presentation is based.
First, A,
what was your verdict? Did you find Sidney Tawney guilty or not guilty of the murder of his wife, Ellen Tawney? In the actual trial upon which this dramatic presentation is based, the jury returned a verdict of guilty.
Bristol-Myers, makers of the Mum range of deodorants, Clairol hair care products, and Ipana toothpaste, hope you enjoyed tonight's presentation of Consider Your Verdict, produced by Michael Silver. On Friday evening at 8:30, you're invited to listen to Medical File, another great dramatic series also brought to you by Bristol Myers. So goodbye until next Tuesday, when it will be time once again to take your place on the jury of Consider Your Verdict.